Okay, let's get into Shmuel Beis, Perek Yutes, 19th Perek, as we head towards the end of the Sefer. This is now the reaction of the merit of Shalom being quelched. Says the Navi that David HaMelech has just heard about what happened to Avshalom. Avshalom was killed, even though his explicit instructions were not to kill Avshalom. He's very upset, and he mourns for him, and he cries for him in a very effusive manner. Yoav sees that the king is mourning for Avshalom, and he says to him, how could you do this? Right, the people who fought for you, they're going to think that what they did was wrong. They put their life on their line for you. They were Moser Nefesh, and you're basically crying that they did exactly what you needed them to do. And the Navi even describes that the people came back into the city of Yerushalayim, but they were hiding from David, and Yoav says to him, seemingly correctly, that you are loving people who you are supposed to hate, you're hating people who you're supposed to love, and you're going to lose all of your followers, and it's going to be the worst day that it's ever happened to you, David. And David HaMelech realizes that he has to do something, and he goes and he sits in public instead of just being private on the roof crying. He goes and shows his face to the people, following Yoav's advice, and in that way, people are a little comforted that it's just fine. He lost his son, but they have to realize that David has confidence in them too. After that, the pasuk describes Nadam Mechal Shifti Yisrael. There's a discussion amongst all of Klal Yisrael saying that we have to go back. Avshalom's no longer here. We have to go back to David HaMelech. David HaMelech sees this, that now the tide is turning, and now he's able to return to being the king. He tells Tzadok and Evyatar, the Kohanim, amongst him, go find my Shevet. Go find Shevet Yehuda, all these other Shvatim, bringing me back to Yerushalayim. Where's my Shevet? Why are you last? So he sends for a Shevet. He also sends for Amasa, who was the star general of Avshalom, and said, Amasa, why don't you come to my side and take over for Yoav? As if David, don't say as if, David is upset at Yoav a number of times already, not following his orders, even though Yoav does give him some good advice, but he asks Amasa to come join him. But at this time, the Navi says that all of Am Yisrael are now following back to behind David, and they meet him at the Yardane, and included in that meeting is Shimi ben Gera, the one that cursed David on his way out, and he begs forgiveness, and he says, please don't hurt me. He dafka brought a lot of people to make sure that David doesn't do anything in public. And though Avishai tells David, kill him, he was marred by Malchus, he cursed you, he threw stones at you, David says, what do I have to do anything for? I'm not going to do anything to him. We'll have to wait until David gives instructions to Shlomo about what to do with Shimi ben Gera, but here David doesn't do anything to him. He even swears that he's not going to kill him. Again, David HaMelech self-effacing. Then, the next meeting, all these people coming out to meet David on the way back. Mephibosheth, Ben Shaul. Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul, who we last heard about when his servant Siva came and said Lashon Hara about him. And said Mephibosheth went over to the other side, went over to Avshalom. But now when David comes back to Yerushalayim, this section is a little out of order because it only happened later, David comes and he sees Mephibosheth, who hasn't gotten a haircut and hasn't washed his clothing. And he says to David, it was all a lie. I've been in Yerushalayim, but I'm a cripple, so I can't come myself. But I'm upset. I wanted to come to join you, but I haven't. I've been in an Avelus, hoping that you would come back. And David HaMelech sees him and says, don't worry, you'll be with me. And from now on, David has an unusual answer. Split the property between you and Siva. As if he, even though Tziva seems to be the liar here, but David HaMelech says split the property, and in that way there will be a pshara. We'll have to talk about why David does that. The next person, all the people coming. So we had Shimi, we have Mephibosheth, then we have Barzillai HaGiladi, who was David's helper. On his way out, and he gave him supplies, David says to him, oh great, you're here, come back with me to Yerushalayim. And Barzillai says, I'm already 80 years old, who knows how many years I have left, I just want to stay in my city, I don't have any taiva, I don't need your good food, I don't need anything now, because I'm older, my Yetzirah has gotten, and my taiva has weakened, and therefore I just want to stay in my city, to be able to be buried in the kever of my parents. Nu, take my son Kimham. My son Kimham with you to Yerushalayim, and whatever good you want to do for me, do for him. And David says, fine. So he takes Kimham, the son of Barzillai HaGiladi, back to Yerushalayim with him, and he is back. All of a sudden, he comes back to the to Yerushalayim, and the end of the Perek is a little machlokes, a sichsuch between Shevet Yehuda and the other Shvatim. The other Shvatim say, Yehuda, you aren't here first, we were taking David back. But they say, no, we're taking David back, because we're his Shevet. And there's no real answer. In the Navi, David HaMelech does not get involved, but there is just this machlokes that is left unclear at the end of the parak, maybe leading to the stages of the next parak, where David HaMelech's Malchus, though it was stable beforehand, there is going to be one more revolt, so to speak. I shouldn't say one more. There's going to be the next one. David HaMelech kept having Avshalom, we'll have Sheva ben Bichri, then we'll have Adonio. Right? His Malchus was set, but it was not fully set. Ad Yom Moso. Okay, so let's go back now to the beginning of the parak and discuss this parak, which is all about the aftermath. It's the aftermath of the Avshalom revolt. That's really what one could title this parak. What happens? The parak starts off by Yirgaz HaMelech. The Melech is Beroges. Roges sometimes means angry. Here it could mean, you know, just upset. Upset. Vayaal al Aliyas Hashar Vayev. And he goes up onto the roof. And he cries, V'ka'amar b'lechto, and he cries very profusely. B'ni Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni. He uses the word b'ni, my son, 8 times. B'ni Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni Avshalom. Mi yitein musi ani tachtecha. Oh, halavai, I should die instead of you. Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni. He keeps saying b'ni, b'ni, b'ni. What's the emphasis of that? So, again, a number of pshatim given. In the Musar HaNevi'im, he gives the pshat that maybe it's related to the fact that Avshalom was a son of a Yefas Tohar, and maybe that's part of why they said, you're allowed to kill him, it's not really his son, the child's a mamzer, the child's not from David HaMelech, but David is emphasizing, b'ni, 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 he was my son. He was my son fully. It doesn't matter, you know, what the details were at the beginning, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, in the previous parak by David and Amnon, the exact relationship, but says the Musar HaNevi'im, maybe that's the emphasis of B'ni, B'ni. The Gemara tells us in Sota, on Daf Yud Amid Beis, that these 8 Lashonos of B'ni was David davening for his son's neshama. Says the Gemara, Yud Amid Beis, Vayirgas HaMelech Vayal Aliyas Hashar, and he says all these Lashonos, says the Gemara, Hani Tzmanya B'ni Lama, why does he say 8 times B'ni? Shiva Da'aske Mishiva Madari Gehenim. 7 to raise him up from the 7 levels of Gehenim. Right? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Avshalom is one of those that don't have a chelik in Olam Haba, based on a pasuk we had earlier. But that was until his father started davening for him. But then David HaMelech started davening for his neshama, partially because, as we have mentioned, he felt it was his fault. Yes, Avshalom had Bechira Chavshis, but ultimately it was a fulfillment of the Nevuah that Nasan said that this was going to happen. He was going to have Ra Mitoch Pesacha. So he felt terrible. And he felt that he wanted to get Avshalom out of Gehenim. So Shiva Da'aski Mishiva Madari Gehenim. So the first 7 Lashonos are getting him out of the 7 levels of Gehenim. Ve'idach, and what about the 8th one? 2 days in the Gemara, Ika Da'amri Dekarv Reishi Lagabe Gufe, either miraculously, though his head was separated from his body when he was killed, miraculously it came back together, Vika Da'amri Da'isi Lama Da'asi, or to give him Olam Haba. Even if he got out of Gehenim, who says he's going to Olam Haba? So that's the second day here that he goes to Olam Haba. That is the Gemara here in Sota on Daf Yud Amud Beis. That's the 8 Lishonos that he used. Tosfos there in Sota on Daf Yud discusses, is it possible, we know children can be mezake their father. Could a father be mezake a child? Ika shahamru b'chelik bra mezake abba, abba lo mezake bra. Kidafsev im yadi matzil. Ein avra matzil as yishmaya, v'lo yitzchak as esav. Ben matzil as av. So how here could David HaMelech do anything for his son? It's against the principle. So Tosfos gives 3 different answers. Yeishlo amar mishum daf shalom natal et shalom ba'olam hazeh. Shenerak b'misa mishuneh. Ho ila lo tfilas aviv. Avshalom suffered enough at his death that David could get him out, right? It's not that he's just going to have to suffer more for his sins afterwards. The times that the 10 things thrown into his chest and the 3 things thrown into his chest that we had in the previous parak. Number 1. Number 2. Va'od Avshalom lo avad avodos kochavim. Maybe that principle is only by avodah zara. And Avshalom didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Number 2. Or, Inami Mazilamei Mar Hadam or Abba Lo Mazaki Bra, Hainu Mishum Kavod Ha'av, Ein Monim Milim Noso Im Risha Im Blo Tfila. Aval tefila mo'elas, v'david ispala alav shalom. Maybe that means without tefila. The koach ha-tefila could undo anything. And even a father for a son. This is also the a discussion in the poskim. The Stechema discusses a father saying Kaddish for a child. Rachman al-Islan. If a child predeceases. So this is one of the sources. David HaMelech davening for his son Avshalom, who was killed. So here are the eight Lashonos at the beginning of this parak. Bini, bini, bini. Vayugal Yoav. And Yoav hears about this. Yoav hears that David HaMelech is profusely reacting to the death. Remember, Yoav knew that David would not react well. He already told Achimatz in the previous parak, don't go tell him. I'm telling you, don't go tell him, he's going to be upset. Let somebody else go tell him. So he knew. So what was Yoav so upset about? He was upset that it was so beyond what he thought, how David should react. Says the Malbim, Hayahavdil ben Yoav uvein Yeser Ha'am. Yoav kvar yada sheyis atzev. Yoav knew that he would be upset. Hamelech al beno. Ukamosha kasav kein lachimatz. Rak choshav shahagam sheyatzev keteva ha'av. Yes, he'll be upset normally, like naturally a father is upset. Lo yis'abil alav. You won't mourn for him. You'll be upset. But mourning? Kinera kedin. Because after all, he was chayiv misa and he was killed. Va'aruge bezdin misablin aleihem. V'ho rabbeinu al sha'amru lo shel misablim al avshalom. They were upset when it was told, what's the pasuk in pasuk beis? It was told to Yoav, hinei amalach boche, he was crying. Va'yis'abel al avshalom. He wasn't upset about the crying. He was upset about the avelos. Because if he's having avelos, what is that showing to Yoav, that he wasn't Chayiv Misa? That's basically showing that Yoav didn't do the right thing. And that Yoav is very against, because he says, I just saved your Malchus. Well, if he's there, Ratza Oso Yoav Shalokha Mishpat. Yoav ended up killing him inappropriately, and that's not what Yoav's thinking was. And the question is, was he actually a Morid B'Malchus? Pashas, he was. The Rinas Yitzchak here quotes Achronim, does a Morid B'Malchus need Hasra or not? Does he, is it automatic? Maybe David wasn't the king anymore once he left Yerushalayim, and all these cases which make it not so clear whether he was Chayiv Misa or not. David obviously felt that he was not. He was not, and he was upset at Yoav for it, but Yoav felt that he was. So what happens? So Yoav was told that the king was crying in Mimas Abel. Fatihi hatashua bayom ahula eva l'cholam. An amazing pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. The great salvation. Everybody came back to Yerushalayim thinking they were going to celebrate. And all of a sudden it turned into mourning because they saw what the king was doing. They so much valued David, right? Not to Yerushalayim, wherever David was, before he went back to Yerushalayim. So they were... All of a sudden, it turned to Avelus. Kishama ha'am bayamahu leimar. Netzav ha'melech ha'bano. All they hear about that the king is upset about Avshalom. But what about they fought for him? What about they split up into three camps? Remember with Avishai and Itai and Yoav? So they didn't want to show their face to David. Vayizganev ha'am bayamahu. They acted like ganavim. They were hiding. Lavo ha'ir. Right? Like they were embarrassed. V'hamelech lo atas panav v'yitzak hamelech kol gadol. Again, b'ni Avshalom, Avshalom b'ni b'ni. Right, they were, he was crying and crying, and he made the day of salvation into a day of mourning. And Yoav realizes, and he gives advice here that David listens to, because he realizes that Yoav is correct. V'yavo Yoav el hamelech v'bayis. V'yomer hovashta hayom. You have dried up. You have, or busha. Right, you have embarrassed. Es pnei kol avadecha hamemaltim es nafshecha hayom. We saved you. We saved your malchus. Ves nefesh banecha b'nosecha. What about your whole family? Well, you don't think Avshalom would have killed the Shlomo? You don't think Avshalom would have killed your whole family and what he did to your pilagshim? And we saved you. La'aves sonecha v'lisno es ohavecha. A very biting pasuk. Says Yoav, you're loving people who you should hate. You're showing more love for Avshalom than you're showing for your own loyalists. Ki gavta hayom, ki ein luchasarim v'avadim. I tell you, you will have nobody left. Ki adati hayom, ki lu Avshalom chai v'kulanu hayom meisim. You know what we get the feeling? We get the feeling that if we all would have died and Avshalom would have lived, ki az yashar beinecha, you would have been happy with that result. And that's terrible, says Yoav, because we fought for you. Right? This is, I don't understand this. V'yata kum tse, go outside v'daber alev avadecha. Go talk to your servants. Go talk to your soldiers, because you're not going to have an army left. You're not going to have anybody left. If you look in the Mishpat Ozav, it's based on the Abarbanel here. He quotes that maybe the discussion of Yoav and the David was that Yoav saw things in a tfisat tivit. Right? There's got to be winners and losers in every war. Avshalom had to lose. And if Shalom had to lose, and your team had to win, your Shalosh had to win, you have to give them chizuk. You have to give them encouragement. You can't have opposite feelings. If you're showing so much love to Avshalom, so it must be that you're upset about the people who fought for you. So that's all of us. So that's how Yoav was thinking. David, and that's how David realized everybody else was thinking. And that's why he had to come outside. But really, David was on such a madrega that he could have had opposite feelings. He had tremendous love and feelings of thanks for the ones who fought for him. But he also had feelings of Avelus for Avshalom, who he thought was killed because of him, unjustly. But either way, you can have opposite feelings, right? He says, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas HaDin, Midas HaRachamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have them both working at the same time, Rachamim Bidin, Din Barachamim, as the Rishonim discuss. So maybe that's what's going on here, that Yoav says, but we're not on that level, so everybody's getting the feeling that you hate them. So you have to go outside. And the king listens. Even though he had feelings for Yoav, he listens. Vayakam HaMelech Vayeshev Bashar, he goes out and sits in the shar, and all the Am see him, and then they are able to go home. Vayavakon Lefnei HaMelech Yisrael Nas Ish La'ohalav. Vayikal La'am Nadon B'kol Shiftei Yisrael Emar. Then everybody started talking. The Abarbanel says there was no machlokas here. They all were talking in agreement. Okay, let's get back to David. Even those who had followed Avshalom, and remember, Avshalom tricked them. Remember the Mishnah in Maseches Sota? Avshalom stole the hearts of David, the Beis Din, and all of Klal Yisrael. He sat up to the gate, and he faked, and he said Lashon Hara about David. He's not going to judge your case properly. So Avshalom said at this point, they realize that we have to bring David back. Shalohaya b'neim ish yachlok b'davar, says the Abarbanel. Nobody's arguing. Ki kulam kiblu aleim as adin. V'yumodim ba'omer ha'melech hatzilenu mikafay venu. Right, that David did it. And they even add, when this pasuk is said, what pasuk are we reading right now? Pasuk Yud. Hatzilenu mikafay venu, David ha'melech has saved us. V'hu miltanu mikaf plishtim. And he saved us from the plishtim. V'ata barach min aras mi'al Avshalom. He's run away from Avshalom, says the Abarbanel. You know what beautifully they're saying? David's not a coward. Right, you see, he fought for us in all these other wars. The only reason he ran away from Avshalom was must be L'shem Shamayim. Like we said before, he didn't want bloodshed in Yerushalayim. He didn't want to even want bloodshed in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want a father have to fight a son. Avshalom, who he anointed, we don't have that officially anointed, he didn't have the Shem and Amishcha, but who we appointed, he's not here, and all of Jews are ready to take David back. So David hears this. So what happens? David sends Tzadok and Avyatar. Dabruel Ziknei Yehuda Leimar. He realizes he needs his own shavit. He needs the Zakenim. Go get them. I don't know what's taking them so long. Achayatem. Atzmiu v'sariyatem. V'lamatiyu acharonim. Why are you the last? So he's taking care of business. Then he goes to Amasa. Ula Amasa Tomer give a message to Amasa. Amasa, if you remember, was his nephew. David had a sister named Avigail, besides his wife being Avigail. We mentioned back in Perek Yuzayin, Amasa was the son of his sister. Tell Amasa, halo atzmiu v'sariyata. Right, the Mesudas David here says, ben Avigail achoti, koyasa li'alakim v'kol Yosef, you could be my sar tzava instead of Yoav. He was upset at Yoav. Yoav is a difficult, challenging figure to understand throughout the Sefer. Right, he gets on, he does things that David does not like. Right, he killed Avner, and he killed earlier, He arranged wars, but there were some things that he did that was for David's benefit, right? He helped out David, right? He's out for David's back, so to speak. But Chazal understand that he also might have some personal negiyas to it. But here, David HaMelech does not have such great feelings for Yoav. Vayedes lavav kol ishi udaki yishachad. But once he has Amasa back, Amasa helps all of Klal Yisrael have unity, get together, come back to Gilgal, back over the Jordan, going westward, back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayamar Shimi ben Gera. Pazuk Yuzayin, Shimi ben Gera. Quickly, he knows he's in for it. He knows he cursed David, and he knows he threw rocks at David, so he better do what he can. So he goes down, he brings 1,000 men with him, because he knows that David's not going to do anything so bad in front of 1,000 men. And he brings Tziva, the servant, right, of Mephibosheth, and he brings all of his children, and he goes to David and says, look, David, I feel terrible. What I did was terrible. Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer El HaMelech, after falling down in front of him. Al Yachshov Li Adoni Avon, Val Tizkor Eitz Asher Heva Avtecha. Please don't be upset. Yada Avtecha, Ki Ani Chatasi. I know I sinned. But then he says something that Chazal pick up on. Basi Hayom Rishon L'chol Beis Yosef, L'redes L'gras Adoni HaMelech. I've come here, the first of Beis Yosef, right? Who is he from? He's from Binyamin, right? That's included in Beis Yosef. He's from Binyamin. He said, I'm first. What is he trying to say? So Rashi says he's trying to say, look, there were a lot of Jews that went over to Avshalom. If you kill me, then all of them are going to be scared that you're going to try to kill them. So he basically gave him and made him into a situation which was impossible. David couldn't punish him because then the rest of Klal Yisrael would be scared. They wouldn't think it was just because he cursed and threw rocks at him. Number one. Number two, the Radak quotes the Medrash that it's similar. Why does he invoke Beis Yosef if he's from Binyamin? Maybe he's saying, remember, Yosef didn't take revenge from his brothers after what they did to him. So please, follow in those footsteps. My Zayda didn't take revenge, so please, you don't either. Amar lo shimi le David, says the Medrash. Achiv shel Yosef gam lo oso ra'a, v'hu gam leim tova, kach ani, ani gamalticha ra'a, gam leini ata tova. He's not saying he deserves it. He's just saying, please follow in the path of my forefathers. Vayan Avishai, Avishai is there. Says, no, atacha zoslot yumas shimi, ki kills Mashiach Hashem Yisrael Misa. Yisrael Misa, Avishai says, what are you doing? And again, the Achronim wonder, maybe this is a Lundish Machlokas. Avishai says he's more of a Malchus. David's saying, no, I wasn't the king at that time. But Yomer David, same answer he gave before, when the cursing was happening. Mali v'lachem b'nei Tzruya. What are you getting so upset about? Ki tiyu li hayom l'satan. You're making this to be a son. No, hayom yumatish bi Yisrael. Today I'm going to kill somebody on the day that I'm back being a king. Halo yadati ki hayom ani melech al Yisrael. I know that today I'm a king. That might mean beforehand for the big 6 months I wasn't a king, like the day in the Yerushalmi. Vayomer Melech al Shimi lo tamus. Vayishava lo amelech. The king swears. So at least in his lifetime, it wouldn't happen. We'll see the tzivui he gives to his son Shlomo. Next, Mipi Boshes, finishing out the last two parts of the parak. Mipi Boshes comes down, Likras HaMelech, comes to the Melech. Again, the Mefarshim point out, this is really a later story. But once Siva was mentioned, because he's not in Yerushalayim yet, and Mipi Boshes is in Yerushalayim, but it's written here, the Malbim says, to show the contrast. How much Rachmanis David had on Shimi! And look what he did to Mipi Boshes. Let's see what happens. Mipi Boshes comes down, Loasa Raglav, Loasa Sfamo, he doesn't get a haircut, he's not washed, and he says to David, Avdi Rimi Sani, my servant tricked me. I said I wanted to go with you, and I know he lied to you. I'm all on your side. Vayomer lo hamelech. And the king says, don't worry about it. It's okay. And what does David answer? Very unusual. David says, Atovet Siva tachleku es asadeh. It's okay, you and Siva will split. We'll split all the properties. If Siva was a liar, remember, David had given all of the properties to Siva because he thought Mipi Boshes defected. So now he's saying, okay, split it. What do you mean split it? Right, says the Radak, quoting Chazal, right when he said split it, Hashem says, okay, your Malchus is going to be split. Right, in the times of Rechavam, Shlomo's son, your Malchus is going to be split. What's going on here? So this is a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. In Masechah Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav, the Radak quotes this Machlokas. Whether David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara and believed and still didn't believe Mipi Boshes fully. Right, that's what the Abarbanel says. The Abarbanel says that he still didn't know. Yes, he came down, there was simanim in both ways. He came down looking disheveled and looking like a mourner. But why? He could have borrowed a horse and come to my side. He didn't need Dafke his horse. He could have come down out of Yerushalayim once Avshalom was killed. Why is he here? Maybe he was mourning because I'm the king again. Right, who knows? So it's one opinion in the Gemara is that he still wasn't sure. So what do you do when you're not sure? Maman amuta basafik yachloku. You split it. So he gave half to Tziva and half to Mipi Boshes. But the other opinion says, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel says, no, David was wrong here. He accepted Lashon Hara, and he shouldn't have accepted the Lashon Hara. And therefore, he was held accountable, and later on, one of the contributing factors to the Malchus being split was this behavior here, when he very quickly, without even focusing and doing more research, gave away the previous kings. Descendants' properties. David says, okay, Hashem says, your descendants are also going to have to split it. It's very difficult, exactly, how David did this. Right? The Marsha there in Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav, works on it. But if you look, just one thought, the Mishmar Zozov notes on page Tav Samach Zayin, there in his Sefer, he says, he didn't find too many people that talk about it. But he has the following creative suggestion. We know that David HaMelech received his 70 years from Adam HaRishon. Adam was supposed to live 1,000 years, but and David wasn't supposed to live at all, and Adam gave 70 years to David, and that's why Adam died at 930. So David had a little bit of Gilgal of Nishmas Adam HaRishon. Who was the first person in history to accept Lashon Hara? Adam HaRishon. Adam was told by the Nachash, or Chava, was told by the Nachash, you know what? Hashem ate from that tree, and that's why he's God and lives forever. If you eat from the tree, you also live forever. So Adam accepted Lashon Hara. So it was, so to speak, in David's DNA a little bit, that he had this netiyah. Obviously, he was held accountable. But, says the Mishmas Azov, L'chein ha'ilu David kfar mutba ha'chet hazeh mi'gilgal harishon shelo, bofen shayakash alav yoser lizar mimenu. Again, we're not blaming Gilgal. You can never use as an excuse, but maybe it's connecting. And at that time, Avshalom accepted Lashon Hara, and he told Lashon Hara about David. So there's something going on here in his suggestion about David's accepting Lashon Hara. Otherwise, it's just very strange. Why wouldn't David do the proper research? But that's a discussion between Rav and Shmuel in Masechta Shabbos. Finishing up, Barzilai HaGiladi comes out and says to David, you know, are you okay? David invites him. He says, no, I'm too old. There's nothing that I am interested in right now. The Mefarshim explained, the Balei Musar explained that Zikna is a gift. You know, as we get older, generally, our taivas are weaker, our yetzaharas are weaker as we get older. Why is that? Why did Hashem make it that as one gets older, we start being less into gashmias and less into kinetive of a coven? Why is that? There are some people even on their deathbed that are into it. But generally, because it's a matana. We should start thinking about what's going to be when we have to stand asidim asalitin din v'cheshbon. So that's what Barzilai is telling David. Just take my son Kimham. So that's what he does. He takes Kimham with him to Yerushalayim. And at the end of the parak ends off by an argument between the Shvatim. David Shevet says, Yehuda says, we're the ones that are the focus. And the other Shvatim say, but we're 10 and you're only one. Right? So there's a discussion here. At the end of the parak, David doesn't say a word. Doesn't say a word. Interestingly, maybe he didn't feel he didn't want to get involved. There was still a lot of people who went against him in the merit of Avshalom. But the parak ends off just by noting that there was this machlokas going on in Am Yisrael, and that could be what leads right into the next perek, where David still isn't firmly grounded, as we'll see the actions of Sheva ben Bichri. Okay, we'll stop here.